All right, folks, we're back today. Nothing but the average thing. This is your boy, Coach Hayden. Before I go to bed, I want to talk about Jerry Jones for a second. A lot of you guys that are my Facebook friends saw my post. And it was a little shade in the dark, you know, as far as, you know, especially since Dez is still unsigned right now. Technically, we can call him back and sign him, you know. But we'll come around back to that. But back to Jerry Jones. You know, Dez Bryant is a talent that requires a two-man coverage every time he pulls down his pants to take a piss. Whether he catches those balls or not, you know, that's one thing. But football is a game of deception. And that's part of the offensive intuitiveness. He's a tool in the sense, a utensil. He may not score every single time on paper, especially since we live in an analytic world. But he's a man's man, and he's a pro. Might I add, being a native of Oklahoma, and him being a Cowboy, Oklahoma State University, you know, yeah. I mean, yeah, go ahead and, you know, throw one. Give me real sugar. Don't give me fake sweetener, right? So, is there any way where we can just sit down and, you know, we can go to Denny's or somewhere and sit down and put the egos aside? Hey, you guys take the egos. We'll have eggs. Dez, what do you have? Jerry, what do you want? We can get Egg Benedict at Denny's. We got enough money, right? Huh? So what, Dez, the Cowboys, why don't we make good music together before we get back in bed together, huh? You know, Dez is unsigned right now. Still an able body. I don't have the stats on his age or how many years he's played in the league, et cetera, et cetera. Once again, shout out to my analytics department that does not exist. let's just think about things. And obviously, caller number 9, who doesn't exist either, is going to say, "Hey, Hayden, it's just week one. Get off the Cowboys' back." Well, you're right. I guess that's the thing about being a fanatic. I guess you feel as though that you know more things than the average man, because that's my team. That's my quarterback. Huh? Shout out to yo, baby. That's my quarterback. Hashtag. No, but the average thing, you know, like I said, episode 3. And before I go to bed, I wanted to totally dedicate and predicate this conversation to Jerry and Dez. You know, Jerry being one of the best owners. Whoa, stop that. My subconscious just said slave owners. And I'm not sure. Whoa, I said, whoa, you can't do that. We're on air. Anyways. So, and then what I also see on TV, Jerry and Dez hanging out together at a Jay-Z and Beyonce concert. And an old, I'm not racist, my best friend is black, but an old 80-plus-year-old white guy with a 20-year-old black guy at a Jay-Z. You know, they were sitting in the balcony. There's, you know, no course about it, but still. And it kind of reminded me of a Walt Disney movie where I probably would have fucking cried. You know, that's my owner right there. Anyways, you folks, you get to bed tonight. My throat's a little irritated. I just got to using my regular mouthwash again. I would tell you the brand, but they got to give me a couple of bands. You heard? No, but the average thing, folks. You guys have a good night. We'll see you in the morning, in the a.m. for breakfast, and I'll give you a breakfast. All right. No, but the average thing. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. One of the two. Got a lot of feedback from most of you guys who listen to my new podcast. I really appreciate you guys actually taking out time to even listen to it, period. But anyways, so what we want to get into today is Aaron Rodgers on topic. Also, one of my role models, 22nd death anniversary is today, Tupac Amaru Shakur, left planet Middle Earth, well, some people may say supposedly, but anyways, logistically, he's dead. And also, third but not least, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of these different mound anomalies that are found across the United States of America. And what are these entities? Are these burial mounds of an ancient culture? Or have these been put here by us? We choose not to talk about this. So, back to the first topic. Obviously, Green Bay Packers had a remarkable, remarkable, remarkable game last week, especially with the second half. Aaron Rodgers re-entered the game, scored 3 touchdowns in the second half after he went to the locker room first half being injured. You know, the Green Bay Packers organization has always been a first-class organization to me personally, in my personal opinion. But for them to continuously to get so much resistance on how they should do things, obviously there's a lot of teams that gets that type of resistance, but just the fact of the matter is how he did it in the circumstances that he does it in and the consistency of it all. But he doesn't have the amount of rings that we compare him to as far as Tom Brady, his predecessor, counterpart, depending on what genre that you're into. Aaron Rodgers is an incredible talent. I think he's able to tap into things as far as an NFL football player that we have rarely seen, you know. And it's hard to say that because of what Tom Brady has done on the grand scale of things at the right time, in the biggest point in time. But is Aaron Rodgers is he the LeBron James of the NFL? You know, because if you think about it, I haven't seen too many interviews with Steph Curry or Klay Thompson or Kevin Durant. The only thing I've seen after this NBA championship is LeBron James. He's everywhere, you know. And it just seems as though Aaron Rodgers seems to be like more than Tom Brady. As Americans, are we addicted to circumstances and climatical situations? And how do we find ourselves to get out of them? Or do we thrive in, you know, these tumultuous events? Anyways,
But back to the Packers and their organization. One thing I want to reiterate is, as far as from an economical stand, being able to buy and trade publicly through the organization, you know, it's almost as if it's a system. You know, does it work? Obviously, they're doing something right. And as most of you probably know, I'm a Cowboys fan. And it's still been pretty rough on us. But hey, they say take it one day or one week at a time in the NFL, right? Yeah, I'll tell you that. Okay. On to another subject. Tupac Amaru Shakur was originally the name, a Peruvian name, actually, the Shining Serpent. The first Tupac Amaru Shakur was an Inca warrior, which Tupac Leeson Crooks is actually Tupac's American Anglo-Saxon English name that's on his birth certificate. It's Leeson Crooks. But Tupac Amaru Shakur is the name of Phoenix Shakur, his mother, gave him also. But the first Tupac Amaru Shakur in the 1600s, I think he was oppressed. His people were oppressed by the Spaniards. And eventually they would capture him and rip his body to pieces. Then he became a martyr, a symbol of a revolutionary, a deity of defiance. Very special name. Very special name. Especially since this young man, this talent was cultivated. I believe she was fighting the U.S. government on a bombing conspiracy charge. And she represented herself in court. You know, he was born in prison. You know, those same bars of slavery, excuse me, those same chains of slavery were melted into bars, molded. So, particularly in the black community, generations, they tend to squabble as far as the notion of a murder versus assassination. And what we talk about with that is, obviously, Dr. Martin Luther King, God rest his soul. And then we talk about Brother Malcolm X, God rest his soul, too. Well, we get into this whole thing of those two gentlemen were assassinated. You know, because we have a Nobel Peace Prize winner. We have an individual who became a very, very prominent movement for the black separatists. As far as pretty much, you know, the same notion of what Tupac was preaching. You know, Tupac had a code called Thug Life, which he came up with Geronimo Pratt, which is his godfather, one of the head forces in the Black Panther Party. And what Geronimo Pratt relayed to Tupac was, at an early age, is you want to get these people to coincide. We want to stop this so-called black-on-black crime. We want it to stop, and things of that matter. What can we write? What can we solidify that they will follow? What treaty will they follow? And he came up with the notion of Thug Life, an acronym of The Hate You Gave. And it took off. It really did take off. And he resonated with a lot of different people, not only as a roadie with Shock G, from Digital Underground, but also as a writer, also as a student of the Juilliards, a student of the performance arts at Juilliard, New York, which is a pretty prestigious school. And he was always well-read. I think that was very important, his upbringing around the Black Panther Party, to be able to not only see the sexism, to not only see the strength as far as strong characters and voices that were around him, but also to see the science in the books and the alchemy. All of those different things played a key role into what he was doing, into what he would become ultimately. You know, actor Wood Harris, talked about the time he spent with Tupac on Above the Rim, the set of Above the Rim. And he had, you know, back then Wood Harris said that he was rapping himself, you know, and he would spend time with Tupac, and, you know, they were talking about Raising in the Sun. You know, he would be talking about so many different other things, Lazoo, the Art of War, and all of these books of psychoanalytical premonitions and, you know, different paradigms, and you know, so the dude was on a whole nother level. There was no doubt about it. So our generation, my generation, when we hear from our so-called forefathers that he was murdered, not assassinated, Mr. Chris Rock, you know, it kind of like, I don't know about that, man. You know, you may have to ask Berkeley, why are they offering his class, you know? It's just, we often talk about a diamond in the rough, but when you're only 25 years old and you're taken from this world, and the literature and the literary that you leave behind is still prevalent thus far, I'm sorry, my friend, it is not just some random act of murder. It is an assassination. It's more than just wearing his bandana on a t-shirt. It's more than just his picture on a t-shirt. It's more than that. You know, he meant more to people than that. You know, I never forget where I was. My parents called me in and they said, Mark, Tupac died. My dad said, live by the gun, die by the gun, Mark. And at that time, you know, I mean, hell, Tupac was probably running with what helped perpetuate him in the first place. You know, it's one of those things we often have to study in people's lives, is the overall effect of their surroundings and what they were integrated with. And even though we may have not liked or saw the circumstance wasn't going to go particularly in his way, but are some of those bad genetics, makeups, some of those bad habits, is it part of the overall process of this deity? Did he have to be amongst street niggas to understand the level of perpetuity? Did he? I believe so. I believe so. And then the guy can drop a rap album and then drive home in his drop-top Jag, listen to Sarah McLachlan, In the Eyes of an Angel. You know, when you have people such as that in their talent and people that are willing to listen to him, he could have done a lot of different crazy things with that type of power. So, anyways, big up to Tupac Amaru Shakur. I think the whole notion of whether he's living or dead, you know, it's depleted immensely, you know, over the last few years, in which it does, because that's not important. You know, if he was alive, he wouldn't, I don't know if he could keep quiet that long, right? But I think the one thing is putting on a song while you wake up early in the morning and you're cleaning the house, Dear Mama, where the whole family can enjoy it, is really, really, really the Tupac that I really remember, the Tupac that I really love to experience. So, anyways, for our segment three, we want to...
Good morning, folks. This is Marcus Hayden. in nothing but the average thing. This morning, I want to talk about these racist rants that we're seeing on our social media, in our news feeds, online publications, syndications. All of these things are really getting old. And what happens when they, obviously when they get caught after these racist rants, there's these quick apologies. For instance, we'll take a case of a young lady in Portland, Oregon, who was, I believe she was walking to her car after leaving a donut shop. And a stripper and her friend rolled down the window and, you know, they started calling this young lady out of her name and saying that her parents were dirty when they came over as immigrants and things of that sort. And I believe it's just a lack of history and not knowing our own personal heritage. Because if that was the case, if we were educated, I guess, in those areas, if we were experts in those areas as far as our genealogy charts personally go, then we wouldn't have so much of this inconsistency, you know. Is it really pain from deep down inside that we're trying to project on other people? What is it? You know, because it's got to stop. And the second story, last but not least, is out of Columbus, Ohio. Now, this originally started off as a road rage type of incident. Everybody gets mad when somebody pulls out in front of them or switches lanes while they're going through a particular light or whatnot. Everybody's going to get upset about that. But you shouldn't get so upset in this particular situation where you're going to follow somebody 2 miles to their house just to call them out their name. Just to say, how did you buy that car? You know, now this guy out of Columbus, Ohio, was actually a state contractor as far as HVAC goes, heating and air conditioner company. And now he says, since he's called this woman out of her name, the N-word, nigger, his family is getting death threats. He's claiming that he has no further business. He's not getting any phone calls for business. And this type of stuff happens. And so with this indirect misplaced hate, what we have here is even more of a desolate situation, you know. Because we have to understand this, folks. People who usually join things or big bodies of entities that perpetuate negativity, they count on people who are going through tough things in their lives. This is who they prey on. Everybody's going to have a bad day. Not everybody's going to love everybody the same way. And I'm not going to go out on a limb and say, hey, listen, you got to love thy neighbor. You know, even though it says that in the Bible, but the reality of it is I'm not suggesting that. But what I am suggesting is you can respect the next man, you know. And so I just want to leave people with that thought to think about. Like, it's really not that serious. You know, if go ahead, let them, if they pull out in front of you, just press on the brake. Let them go. Don't let what somebody does in their car dictate the rest of your day. You know, for instance, for me, it's the cat pissing on the carpet. You know, I can get up and get mad and chase that cat around the house and throw him outside. But 30 minutes later, I'm going to feel bad and let him back in the house. And, you know, he's the best cat known to mankind. He's a black 40-pound cat named Blackjack. And his job is to affect my sinuses and pee on the carpet every night when I'm not looking. Would you rather clean up cat piss, or would you rather get into a little squabble in the traffic jam? I don't recommend neither one. But what I do recommend is patience and perseverance with each other. All right? So, next time in that traffic squabble, next time if somebody takes your parking spot at Walmart, folks, it could be a white, black, yellow, green, purple person. All people are in a hurry. All people are good. All people are bad. Everybody is going through all these emotions, etc., etc. Let's tone it down. Let's not let our circumstance at that particular juncture become 2 to 3 weeks of defamation of character that we have to defend. And we're talking about the person that's in the mirror, Michael. Okay? So, anyways, nothing but the average thing. We got a whole list of topics coming up, such as we really never got to get back to our Native American mounds that are found throughout the continental plain of the United States of Great America. We really want to touch bases on that. And then we also want to really talk about the extraterrestrial life forms, these deities. Me and my buddy Sean, he's actually a computer programmer in Oklahoma City for Dell. And we talk all the time about this type of stuff. And, you know, he really had a lot of interesting things to say as far as, you know, in this big universe, this galactic, to know that a grain of sand is represented as a planet possibly that could contain human life. You know, what makes us think that we're all righteous? You know, what separates us from Homo erectus, from Homo sapien 2.0? And if we think about it, Homo erectus, a.k.a. Neanderthal, is caveman. Caveman himself had different types of, I would probably have to say, fight or flight was pretty much the notion that we got from Homo erectus. Now, these were hunters. These were fruit gatherers. These are individuals, specimens that buried their dead with pottery, jewels, and things of that matter. But what separated Homo erectus from Homo sapien? And a lot of our science tells us it's more of the animalistic beings. We were able as Homo sapiens to have a touch from God, which meaning we were able to create the liberal arts. Our literary exchange started to develop as far as Homo sapien current model 2.0. We're able to write music, all right? And we can't necessarily say with art that's when it started with Homo sapien, because there's so many places where Homo erectus skeletal remains have been found in certain caves. And there's also been drawings on cave walls that have been dated back to tens and thousands of years ago. And so we have to look at things such as that. And then we have to look at physical structures as far as the scope of things around the world, such as pyramids that are galactically aligned with the Orion Belt. Then we have to look at the doggone tribe, you know. How did they map out in their cave systems Series A and B? How did they know that the sun is the center of the universe tens of thousands of years ago? How did they know these things? How did they know each planet? How did they know Pluto was a small planet? How did they know that Saturn has several rings around it? I mean, this is a tribe with no electricity, folks. No telescopes. So when people laugh at me and say, Hayden, you're just on this little pseudo mission trip to try to make everything relegate that's irrelevant. And that's not it at all, folks. Only thing I'm telling you is stuff that's already been done. There is nothing new under the sun. Well, besides my new podcast, ain't nothing but the average thing. You know I had to say that, right? Well, anyways, it's 7 o'clock a.m. Marshalltown, Iowa, right now, Wednesday. I want you guys to have a great morning. I don't know next episode. I don't know when I'll be back on. But all I can do is guarantee you that I'm going to keep the content coming, 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 and coming. Please don't hesitate to comment on my box. You'll see the news feed. It'll give you an opportunity to ask me questions. And if you hate this, put it on there. You know, because if it doesn't have an opinion, I think that's more detrimental to what I'm doing than anything else. Because if I know where you stand, and I know that, that allows me and gives me a chance to work on things, to be able to broaden my craft. Because that's what it's about. It's about elevation. You know, when you want to climb Mount Everest, you have to not only worry about the rigors of the landscape of things, but you have to worry about consolidation of elevation, the atmosphere. Absolutely. And that's M. Hayden with nothing but the average thing. You folks, you have a great day. And guess what? I made a G today, but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling books to the kids. I gotta get paid. Well, hey, that's the way it is. All right now.